This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. We just had what really is a, I want to say fascinating, but then also a very meaningful conversation around this campaign, which is all about assisting young people all around the country in whatever setting they are, rural or otherwise, to be able to have an education. But how? Through a digital mechanism, digital means.
And I love what Robbie just said, that it wasn't just about giving children the tools to read. It was giving them economic global empowerment. And
exactly.
That's where we're at.
Exactly. And so we are extending this conversation a little bit. Why? Because, well, we've asked Anthony to join us. And he, of course, is in the founder of AG Mobile. Back then, it wasn't AG Mobile. We'll ask him to share his story in just a minute. But we've asked him to come in and just share, as so many other CEOs and names have shared, just their journey, some insights. And you'll see then how that his journey then connects with this campaign that him and his business
and
are
and also connects
involved in.
With whoever's listening, even to me and Gareth. We connect with everyone's journey and everyone's stories.
Exactly. Anthony, I don't know if you need another introduction, but for the sake of those people who have not heard the first conversation that we had, just please give us just a broad background, who you are and why you're here.
So thanks for inviting me. That's obviously why I'm here.
And we're honored.
Thank you. So for all who's listening, my name's Anthony Goodman, and I started a business called AG Cellular in around about 1995.
You were still in school?
I was selling bits and pieces of weird and wonderful things in school. So actually in 95, I wasn't in school because I finished in 1992.
Okay.
But I started my business, let's say dealings, my wheeling and dealing in school.
Okay.
I happened to, interestingly enough, fall upon cell phones, which had actually just really started up at that time.
Yes. At that time, I think we had to carry them around in a backpack. Eh?
Walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
So in those days, exactly like you said, it was a very interesting business that was thought to be something that would probably remain a luxury item forever and a day. And who would have ever thought this is what would have turned out in terms of correct me if I'm wrong, so I'm repeating something I was told, but it's apparently the biggest industry that's ever existed in industry, the mobile industry.
I can believe
industry.
That.
I can also believe it.
So from having in the day, had conversation, for example, my stepfather said, yeah, I don't know if it's like a very good idea to sell cell phones because it's a luxury item. And the first thing when people go under pressure, they start buying is luxury items. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I didn't really know what I was going to be doing anyway. I just landed up, to be honest, I sold a cell phone, one. And it's an interesting story, so I'll just quickly share it.
Please do.
I sold it. Anything in those days in the Star Classified under 1,000 rand was free. So I advertised at 9.99, and I had quite a number of people calling. So I was like, well, if I imagine I had a number of phones, I could probably sell a lot more of these. So I started trying to buy secondhand phones. Which was quite interesting. You know, people were wondering why I was trying to buy their secondhand phone, but the demand to resell it was huge. So it was the business I actually started off was selling secondhand phones.
Interesting.
So, I built my business from 1995 to 2005 in the used market, where it grew extensively. From a South African perspective, I was the largest, import and distributor of used mobile phones. And it was quite an interesting market. It was quite exciting as well. Various different angles and avenues in terms of that particular business. And over a period of 10 years, things obviously in business change, slow down.
Sure.
Market conditions change.
Of course.
And, initially I'd been spending a lot of time purchasing out of Europe, London, etc. The market shifted more to the east where I started spending time. When I say spending time, doing my purchasing there.
Sure.
And that led me to seeing factories that had just started manufacturing mobile phones. So it actually wasn't something that had ever existed before because you had your big mobile phone brands and that was it.
Sure.
And that's what I was selling. I was selling used mobile phones that were branded.
Exactly.
So there was a huge demand in that market, and my decision to shift course was an interesting one. I just I I thought to myself, what I'd like to do is I'd like to create my own brand of mobile phone, and instead of selling other people's phones, try and sell my own.
It's an ambitious thought when you consider some of the big brands that are out there.
Yeah, it was thought to be delusional, literally.
But you've got to be. Don't they say, you know, if it's not big enough, then you're not dreaming enough.
I love it. And I guess that maybe there's
good for you, AG. Good for you.
A fine line between visionary and delusional, and it's only found after the fact.
Correct.
Were you successful? It seems like you were visionary.
Correct.
So it was. I saw these phones being manufactured, and my idea was to move out of the used mobile business. Was more of an informal business, mm-hmm. and my idea was to try to become a more formalized business. In other words, mm-hmm. supplying what we do today, mm-hmm. the formal retail channels and network operators.
And now, of course, today AG Mobile, not AG
AG Mobile, Cellular. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't at the time have any idea as to how challenging this would really be.
Okay.
Given I knew absolutely nothing about the manufacturing of mobile phones, nothing. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'd sold secondhand phones to, when I say independent traders, I may as well have been selling anything, because it gave me no accolade, foothold, or it did nothing for me when I arrived now with the very first phone I made, called the AG Rockstar, which was, my idea was to bring an aspirational feel to a totally unknown brand. Mm. So I used at the time Danny Kay and Cabello to endorse the first phone called the Rockstar. And we put on content, music videos, ringtones, made it look really exciting and cool. It was a very cool looking project. It looked amazing, but you know, taking that what looked amazing to the market was super, super difficult. Mm. So it was a really big challenge. And I'd never dealt with the networks, nor had I really contemplated which real big retailers would even entertain me. I didn't even know who to talk to, because I hadn't done business with these people before. So I arrived with my one box called the AG Rockstar, but I'd actually made the project TV ads, music video. I did everything, including bringing in the first 2,000 phones without even showing anyone.
Interesting.
And then I went out and decided who would buy it. So I didn't do it the opposite way around, trying to see if there was an interest. I just did what I wanted and then went to try and sell it.
You know what I love about the story? I mean, so the origin is this.
We could sit here all day and listen.
It's fantastic. Yeah. The origin of this entire business is I put an ad. I had a second-hand phone. I put an ad into a newspaper, and I saw that there was demand. So I decided to pursue it. Not huge amount of planning, which is necessary for many. I mean, we must be very careful about the way that we do things, and we'll get your insights into that in a moment, Anthony. But then also, here again, there's this evolution, and you know what? Screw it, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
Right? The Richard Branson, screw it, I'm going to do it.
Auntie, who's supporting you? Who's guiding you? Who are you having any mentorship? Who is your source of
to be
anything
honest,
at this point? Because a lot is going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. I've got great people who work within the business. I have a business partner that's been involved in the business for 3 years who provides a lot of guidance in terms of different sort of guidance, you know, not specifically entrepreneurial guidance, but more guidance at a ground level. I've been involved with, obviously, through the time you get involved with different types of funding structures, etc. And the guys involved in that part of the business are very solid people.
Mm.
So in terms of certain decisions that I make, I'll bounce things off them. But from on a holistic basis, there's no one I could unfortunately say, you know, like a specific mentorship. So I use the smart of all the people that are around me to be able to facilitate whatever they can in terms of the guidance that they can give me. And they've each got their own really smart ways. They're all really clever guys.
Mm.
So it's an interesting thing, because a funder bets on an entrepreneur.
Sure.
So it's difficult for the entrepreneur to then rest on the funder. So they're actually saying, well, you know, we bet on you.
Mm.
So hard to lean on them, So it's a little bit of a interesting, it's an interesting one where there, where there's business and growth, and you are new, the person in the, in the forefront, or you actually guiding or steering a ship. So, yeah, like I said, there's no one I could like sort of highlight, but I do have fortunately very good people around me, that are good at very specific things, which I rely on.
They're all mentors then, aren't
yes.
they? So you've got a whole bunch of these individuals. What's then the best advice you've received from this group? Can you highlight one or two pieces that have just been, the right message at the right time, and they just, it just sticks with you?
Difficult to really pinpoint that because there's so many moving parts every day.
Sure.
For me to highlight something that was said that was, you know, that really stuck out at me. There's many, many things from a conversational perspective that I'll have with the people around me on a day-to-day basis.
And I like that.
That will ring true. Mm. You know, so you've got to be you got to be steadfast but pliable. It sounds like a little bit of a contradiction, but you know, there's no one ever can't take good advice. Good advice is priceless. Mm. You know, if I had better advice or better people around me growing up, I suppose I wouldn't have made the same sort of decisions, but then I wouldn't have had the same sort of lessons.
Mm.
So, but for me, what I think is, you know, if you're able to listen. It's very important.
Mm.
And the strength of any business person is actually concentrating on your strengths and not your weaknesses.
I like it.
And and the people around you also exploit their strengths, not weaknesses. You know, you don't want to, you know, make a cat bark. So it's
I like that.
Very good.
So, you know, that's so I think the guys around me also do realize my strengths and weaknesses.
Correct.
And yeah, no, I'm not the admin man of the year. So, you know, that sort of stuff, when you're running a business, you're viewing everything, yeah, you pick out, people who can assist in the parts where they're very good and you're not so good.
I like that. You know what I like about it is that how often do HR departments or training departments, training companies come in and they want to try and make you this whole individual? And actually, yeah, let's bring out the strengths. I mean, we'll also teach you how to count if you struggle to count. But as you said, we're not going to try and you're a dog. We're not going to try and make you sound like a cat. You're going to be a dog, and we're going to make you one heck of a good dog. I like that.
The Rottweiler.
No, I like it. I like it.
What other habits would you attribute success to in general for a future CEO listening out there? You said listening is a great thing. What else?
You have to be 100% relentless. So, you know, I don't attribute making. I think if you are successful, you're blessed. I don't really,
I like that.
You know, hard work doesn't deserve accolade because you're supposed to work hard.
Mm.
So
Very nice.
if you have come up with ideas, which lots of people do, the execution of those ideas is everything because that's where the pain is. So, you've really got to grind every single day. All day, you know, that's a choice for a CEO. It's a choice for any person who takes on anything because it's an opportunity cost in life. You got to decide what you actually want. And if that's what you want more than anything else, then you have to attribute that time to it more than anything else.
Mm.
So with that comes other sacrifices, but that's the choices you make. So when someone comes up with an idea, a plan, a business objective, it's the one is to make business sense of it, and two is to make personal sense of it. To go, am
nice.
I prepared to do every single thing that it takes to make this happen? And if the answer to that is 99.9%, don't do it, because it's without 100% of it all the time. It's very, very challenging. So it's a decision that needs to be really taken 100% properly. So I think in many startups or businesses, I think there's ideas are there's lots of opportunities and lots of things.
Sure.
It just depends on how much you're prepared to put yourself on the line in order to make it happen. How far will you take it?
I love this point, because so many people start businesses because they want a certain kind of lifestyle and feel, and they see something on TV and they think, oh, I'm going to live like that. But what they don't see is behind the curtain. What is actually happening? What's the reality? Because those things happen. I mean, we've had some fantastic events that we've been at, or fantastic moments in our histories. But those are the stars amongst a very, very big sky. They sometimes shine nicely, but aren't always representing the entirety of it.
Yeah, listen, the trick of a bright star is you can't see what's behind it. Mm. So it's great, you know, as an entrepreneur, business person, you know, a business owner, whatever it is you choose to do, you want to be a bright star. But what I'm saying is you have to shine, otherwise it's actually an important thing to shine.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying with that, it comes all the polishing, which is, the years and
coming
years and years.
Coming through the darkness.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said, I mean, the longer I go down the line, the more I realize there's few businesses that are successful by chance. Mm-hmm. The tech space we're in is an interesting one, because certain people have had traction on certain things which are absolutely amazing and astounding and will stick out amongst everything.
But even there, we can say, well, the timing was right. The people had the right exposure. I think Malcolm Gladwell, the book Outliers, highlights that. I mean, Bill Gates, the timing was perfect. Steve Jobs, the timing was perfect. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah. The timing was right. But, I mean, if you looked at, you know, for example, a guy like Steve Jobs, he's done everything and more than what I've said.
Absolutely.
So there would need to be, all of those things would need to be aligned, and then your own ability to be able to really push yourself literally to the edge.
Mm, very, very nice. Mm. You've obviously made mistakes in this journey, which is, what are we sitting on, 21 years or so in this business? Just give us a story. We love stories. A story, okay. your the biggest mistake, but that potentially had one of the biggest learnings for you as well.
I've made lots, lots and lots. One that people like, because it's quite it's a bit of an out there one. Mm. I gave away a Lamborghini on a raffle.
I'd like you to make that mistake with me if you want.
With future CEOs.
Yes. I beg your pardon. Future CEOs.
It had the making of a smart business idea, but didn't work out so well, but a good story nonetheless, without going into the specific details. But a lot of people said, have you actually gone mad? Mm. And I said, no, this is smart. This will work. It was, it came along with the phone and some interesting things. That the phone was the ticket to the raffle, and it was 3,000 raffle tickets, which were phones specifically signed, and the advertising and marketing I thought was right. And I just thought everything was right. Mm. And it didn't work out right. But whenever I tell people, like, still go, you the guy who gave away that Lamborghini. That was among,
yeah,
I wouldn't say that that's the biggest mistake I've ever made, but that's the one I think people laugh the most about.
What's the lesson there though?
To be honest, if I thought about it as I think about things, I'd probably have done it again, because it made sense. Mm. So the lesson was, I always joke. I said I stopped showering because I get all these ideas in the shower. The idea itself made business sense. Mm. The fact that when you bring it to fruition, it doesn't make business sense is just part and parcel of being an entrepreneur. Mm. Some opportunities work and some
correct.
Don't. Mm. That's just the way it is.
21 years in the business, skills or connections that have got you to where you are right here, right now?
You need both. You have to have both. They're not independent, or they're married.
Yeah.
So you have to know and understand your business very, very well. Mm. That's the first thing that you need to do in order to even be taken seriously. Because if you've got connections and you don't have that, well, that might just fall by the wayside.
Mm.
So you actually need a lot of both. Connections is when you say connections, I think connections is about building relationships,
networking,
sustainably over time.
Yes.
And sustainable relationships only come with a sustainable business.
Mm.
So if you if you were lucky and got into a place but your expertise were offbeat, you'd probably land up out of the place. Mm-hmm. So that relationship would probably not be an existing one going mm-hmm. forward. So my thing is I wouldn't be able to separate them. I think that when you develop as a business person, you develop relationships with the people you do business with, along with the skill set that you require to become a business person.
You know, we've run out of time. Do you know that?
This guy,
It's been a fantastic conversation.
We love it, Anthony.
I think let's wrap the conversation up on this note of relationships. You have a relationship with one of the Nelson Mandela Foundation brands initiatives. You are assisting them to really roll out education into some of the most rural parts of South Africa.
Hashtag freedom to learn.
Yep, freedom to learn, exactly. Just give us your greatest ambition for that campaign.
So the campaign started off on the basis that we'd roll out a range of mobile devices, phones and tablets, and that a portion of the proceeds would be given back to the foundation for what they do specifically, and that is build libraries.
And around literacy programs.
Yes, literacy programs. Mm-hmm. And that was the start point of this. Now we've gone into an exciting project of trying to get other people to buy into this so that not only when people actually go out and buy this product through the retailers, but other people sponsoring. And it's an unbelievable cause because I don't think there's a better tool for learning than a device in your hand.
Mm. With the right information on it.
And
there are some great brands and information behind this all.
And the giveaway really does excite me. I must be honest, I could think of nothing more fantastic than putting, we've said 1 million, but as many as possible phones, or devices in the hands of kids that haven't had an opportunity to have any mobile device and the learning that comes behind it. Mm. It's an amazing project. I'm going to personally put a lot of time into speaking to people, and that's where your connections come in, to support this, because there's lots of support for lots of charities. This is legitimate. It's really an amazing, amazing, initiative. And I want people to get behind it and support it. I'd love to come back in time to come and say, yes, guys, we actually hit that
absolutely.
1 million mark.
We'll have you back. So, and I'm sure we're going to get there.
So it's something that, I really hope people, see the amazing relevance in it and actually, put themselves forward and actually, allow kids to have this opportunity.
Given where South Africa is going, given where the world is going, it seems like it's the right thing to do, at the right time and in the right way. It's putting education into these young people's hands in a manner which will assist them for the rest of their lives.
Easy access to education via technology for all.
Exactly.
Freedom to learn.
Freedom to learn.
Exactly.
Anthony, thank you for being
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man with a very hectic schedule. We say that to all our esteemed guests, but we really appreciate your generosity.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Kluby, a final word?
I'm done. I'm just excited about what's happening here today and being part of a revolution.
A revolution indeed. That's Future CEOs this week. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Go out and execute.
This is CliffCentral.com.